Let's continue discussing Inyanim Yidiyos relating to Rosh Hashanah from the Sefer Pardes Yosef HaChodosh al Rosh Hashanah by Rabban Gamliel Rabinowitz. Let's continue where we left off. We're up to, okay, I have new notes here. Let's jump to a couple of things. First, let's discuss this. Uvechein. The Nusach HaTil Yom Rabban, how many times do we say Uvechein? How many times in the third bracha, kedusha, we say the word uvichein, uvichein yiskadash shimcha? Okay, this is all part of the nusach. Uvichein tein kovoid liyamecha, uvichein tein par, uvichein tein pachtecha. What's that? Uvichein and uvichein. Let me actually turn to the sidur. So we can, I don't have to guess. Okay, so we say four uvechains. You should pay attention to the four uvechains. You should know where you're up to. Uvechain yiskadash shimcha Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Amecha. May your name be sanctified over the Jewish people. Uvechain tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol maasecha. Uvechain tein kovoid Hashem li Amecha. Uvechein et tzadikim yiru v'yismachu v'yisharim ya'aloizu v'chasidim berino yagilu. Rabbi said these four vecheins is the ikki yisoid of the Yom Neiram, and it's the ikki yisoid of every single day of our life. These are the four ingredients, the four major components of what we're here for this world. In this world, the four ingredients are Hashem's name should be sanctified. Uvechein yiskadash shimcha Hashem Elokeinu al through al Yisrael Amecha. That's what we're here for. Yiskadal v'yiskadash shmei Rabbah. This is what life is all about. Okay, ingredient number two. What's the next? What is the next? The next most important thing. Next most important thing is pachad yiras shamayim. Okay, akol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. What are we here for in this world? We're not here. Everything is destiny. You think you're calling the shots? You think you're making decisions? What are you going to have for lunch today? You think you're going to decide what you're going to have for lunch today? It was already decided at nice and voracious what you're going to have for lunch today, whether you like it or not. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz. The only thing they did not decide is if you're going to make a bracha when you get your lunch. Okay, that's life. The third thing is... V'chein tein kovod Hashem li'anecha. You need a little spice in life. Kovod. Okay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klal Yisrael should have some kiddush shem shamayim. Basically, it's a kiddush shem, basically, mevakish, there should be kovod for Klal Yisrael. And the fourth thing is simcha. Okay, it's the most tachas asher lo yavaditas Hashem elokecha b'simcha uvitov levav meirav kol. This is what life is all about. That kavod does. In order for you to get kavod, you have to give kavod. By the way, it's a two-way street. A zehu mechubad hamechabed. In order for the zvir to be kavod, you want to be on the receiving end. You have to be. You have to know that there are cheretz kadmul atayra, and the ikud there are cheretz knowing how to be mechabed someone else. So don't take it lightly. These four things are major components of life. On these for these things to pay attention, yiskadash, pachtecha, kavod, and v'chein tzadikim. Now, there's also another v'chein, that's in Megillas Esther. V'chein avoy el ha-melech asher loy chados. Okay, Esther said to Mordechai, I'm going to be meiser nefesh. She used those words. The word v'chein means mesiras nefesh. She said, I have not been invited to appear before the Melech Achashverosh for these last 3 days, and the law is that if you come before Achashverosh without being invited and he does not extend his scepter, there's only one halacha, death, instant death. So by me going to Achashverosh, Shalei Chados, I mean Moiser Nefesh, V'chein Avyet, V'chein Ambulmi, Avoy Melech Shalei Chados, V'chasher Avarti Avaduti. Memela, when we say these four V'cheins on Rosh Hashanah, we're really being Merames. Life is about being Moiser Nefesh. You have to, what? I don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When? By the Shmoneh Esrei? Shachris.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a nusach atzvah. That's not the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. That's a different thing. I'm focusing on the Shmoneh Esrei. Yom Nerom. Okay, that's during the whole year round. You're talking about, you said by Shvat, and say fine. Okay, but let's focus on these four. It's also the Bali Musar tell us. They tell us, remind us, that when you say these four uvechains, remember Purim. Purim's not so far ahead. Okay, and on Purim, the word of Uvechein means one thing, it means Mesiras Nefesh. It means Mesiras Nefesh. And when you want, if you, no pain, no gain, you can't expect Kadosh Baruch Hu to give you whatever you want, and if you're not going to do something for Him. That's the way the world works. No pain, no gain. You want Him in Rakesh, you have to do your part, you have to be Meiser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get back return on your investment. What else? Oh, very, very simply, I don't deserve it. You have to recognize whatever we ask Hashem on Shmoneh Esrei, it's more than we deserve. Just like Esther said, I'm not entitled. I'm not. What I'm doing is illegal. It's illegal what I'm doing. I don't deserve to go before the Melech. We've been given permission on Rosh Hashanah to come Asher Loi Chados. So this is a very powerful Muslim. In fact, you know, there are people who they really, and Chazanim, I've heard this, they emphasize, they have a whole nigun for Uvechein. Uvech, they have a whole ganze nigun when they say the word Uvechein to be mechavein intensely on this particular word. And also there are people who on Rosh Hashanah, on when they lay in the Megillah, I don't remember exactly how it goes, there's certain nuschos, those who have a certain nigun on the Yom Noiram before the Uvechein, they actually sing that nigun when they lay in the Megillah. When they lay in the Megillah and they say Uvechein, Ovayim El Chasher Loi Chados, they go back to the Yomim Noiram. Just like it's very common when you say Balayla Hahu Nadida Shnas Hamelech. So besides saying it louder, there is a minug. You know, it depends where you dive into. Really into these things is they say Hamelech. They say in the, when they lay in the Megillah, because it alludes to the word Hamelech in the Megillah alludes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in that, especially in that particular Melech, which has the Gemara Feirush of Gemara, Nidadoi Shenosoi of Malkoi Shel Olam. So in order to allude to the Hamelech in the Megillah of Balayla, who know the Shnas Melech refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a meaning to sing that Hamelech in the Nigun of the Hamelech that you say before Baruch Hu. Likewise, the Uvechein is also such a minik to connect the Uvechein of the Megillah to the Uvechein of the Nusach HaRashman Eshe of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Next topic. Why don't we recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? It is a Yom Tov. You have a Suda. You have supposed to be happy. Why don't we recite Hallel? The proof is, there's a minik. We mentioned this when we started learning the Halachas. You are supposed to take a haircut Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's not a good idea today to wait to Erev Rosh Hashanah because the barber is very busy, but it used to be they would take haircuts bedafka Erev Rosh Hashanah. What's the reason? Not because of Simchas Yom Tov, it's because you're confident, it's like a celebration. You're confident that you will be victorious on the Yom HaDin, and therefore you want to basically celebrate. So you see that there is a certain Simcha of celebration that accompanies the Yom HaDin. Okay, we celebrate that we're going to be victorious. You can't say Yom HaDin is not a day of celebration, but there's a simcha of celebration of victory. Victory certainly requires the recital of Hallel. So why don't we recite Hallel just like we take a haircut Erev Rosh Hashanah? This is a very common question. So the answer is, Ein Edoimeh Erev Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah itself. Rosh Hashanah itself is the moment of Din. In the moment of Din, you're not very happy. Before the moment of Din, Erev Rosh Hashanah, so then already you can be besimcha, you can be confident. But when it comes, the Yom HaDin, the Emas HaDin, then you can't. So you'll ask me, so why you say Hallel Erev Rosh Hashanah? That far you don't go. But in Rosh Hashanah, the bottom line is, it's the moment of Din. The moment of Din, Chazal really say, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim, and you're going to say Din, you're not going to say Hallel. Similar to the Malachim, okay, that's one. Okay, they're all very similar answers. Another idea is that we don't say Hallel out of respect for those people who don't make it. It's a mitzias that unfortunately this year, Rosh Hashanah, there were many people who are not here with us. There are many people who left us this past year. Did we know that it would happen? We never know. No one knows their time. So last year, Rosh Hashanah, not everyone was written in their sefer. There's going to be another year, so therefore it's kachi darko shalolam. So therefore, even though maybe for us, maybe we're very confident. I don't know why, but even if a person is very confident that he's going to make it through the next year, but have derech eretz, there are people out there that are not going to make it. So out of respect for them, you don't recite challah. It's a very interesting idea. Really, you should say challah. Because really, you are confident that you'll be victorious. But being that we do know in the Velt, there are going to be people who are not going to make it into the next year. And for them, in their sefer, it does not say l'chaim. Out of derech eretz, respect for them, we do not recite halt. It's a very powerful limud ha-musar to have some sensitivity to someone else that doesn't have what you have. Oh, you know, I read this so many times. This is Zalman Meltzer. Rav Isser Zal Meltzer was the father-in-law of Rav Aaron Cutler. And when Rav Aaron Cutler would come to visit, I went to visit him in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Zal Meltzer was in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Isser Zal Meltzer did not kiss Rav Aaron Cutler goodbye. It was a very cold, a very cold departure whenever his edim of Aaron Cutler left the shver of Isser Zal Meltzer. And the reason he told me the reason is because there are many people who were not zoiche to have their children survive the war. They did not survive the war. And they did not have the hana of greeting their daughter and their son-in-law and saying goodbye to them. In order to be mishtatef in their tsar, he did not want to take too much delight in embracing his son-in-law. You see that in Rosh Hashanah. Since there are people who are not going to be Zaycha Rahman Litzlan in the world at large, you have to have a degree of sensitivity. Now, even though we Taku do not recite Halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we do not recite Halal either on Pesach also, the last 6 days of Pesach, we do not recite Halal because of the same idea of Ma'isa Yodai Tovu Bayam V'atem Oimrim Shira. However, we make it up. Where did Chazal make it up for us? Chanukah. Chanukah is 8 days. On those 8 days, we recite Halal. So the Chazal say, Farshi says, the 8 days of Halal on Chanukah is Tashlumin for the Halal that we really should say on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the last 6 days of Pesach. So it's Zeh Lu'uma Zeh. What?
Nine. That's 9 days.
What do you mean 9 days?
2 plus 1 plus 6.
It's 9. 6, 7, 8. 6 days of Chanukah. Six days of Pesach. The last 6 days of Pesach. The first 2 days of Pesach we recite Halal. Pesach is how many days? 8 days. In Chutz Li'aretz. 8 days. Shvi Shal Pesach and Acharon Shal Pesach. In Chutz Li'aretz. Golos. We have a total of 8 days of Pesach. The first 2 days we recite Halal Sholem, and the remaining 6 days we only say Chatzi Halal. Half Halal, I'm going to clarify, half Halal. We're not mashlim the Halal. Why not? If you're not mashlim the Halal, it's not a real Halal. Why not? Because of Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf.
They have
six, right? Six. Rosh Hashanah, oh, so saying really it's 9. 2 days Rosh Hashanah. You got me.
I'm thinking Yom Kippur. Yeah,
you got me.
Yom Kippur
doesn't count?
There's no reason to say
there's no reason
to say
Yom Kippur?
No reason to say
okay, so that's the answer. Yom Kippur, ignore Yom Kippur. So only 2 days Rosh Hashanah. 6 plus 2 is 8. Okay, I wasn't thinking correctly. Okay, six. Yom Kippur is not a part of the equation, he's saying, because Yom Kippur is not a Yom Tif. Yom Kippur is... You want to is one long day, all right? You have to finesse it.
Yes.
Finesse it. Ain Moshivan al Hadrush. You can always eat another piece of kugel, and you can always get it in. Okay, let's go weiter. Okay, next topic. This is very, very interesting. This I never saw someone write this article so well. And that is, there's a minhag, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to give the Baal Tokeya and the Baal Musaf an Aliyah.
Yeah.
Bechlal, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Sadavah choshev ad ma'oy to get an aliyah on Yimei Hadin." If you can, if you're from the Achashuvim in the Beis Hakneses, you get an aliyah. Sadavah choshev to be called to the Torah. The zichus haTorah should be with you on the Yimei Hadin. If you can, you should pay a lot of money to get an aliyah. It's a very nice thing to do. They also, he makes a very, very, very important point. There's a really, really good thing he says over here in this Sefer, in the Parnas Yisrael Chadash. He says there's a very big problem, and even in the best specials, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. It's not a time for jokes. It's not a time for kibitzing. It's not a time for playing games. Rosh Hashanah, it's a serious day. Unfortunately, we live in a generation where everything's a joke, right? We know that. It's a very big problem. Nothing is the way it used to be. It's the Yom HaDin. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim. In shuls where they sell aliyos, even in the best shuls, in the shuls of Chashuvim, Talmidei Chachamim, there is a tendency that when they sell the aliyos, there are a lot of jokes. It turns into a spiel. Okay, there, let's say where it's a regular shop. Let's say they only sell aliyos on Yom Tif. You know, there's an aliyah and someone makes a joke. You know, people are calling out more money, this and that. You all know what I'm talking about. It lightens the mood. So, all right, so listen, you know, we have no choice. Amcha, Yisrael, Tshichim, Paranas, who's going to pay the bills? There's a technique, you have an auction, there's a public embarrassment. It works. The shul needs the money. What are you going to do about it? You have to go sell. It's a necessary evil. But at least on Rosh Hashanah, if you're in a shul where they sell the aliyos on Rosh Hashanah, during the time they sell the aliyos, you have to be extra careful not to engage in conversation, and not when you're calling out your bid for the aliyah, it should not turn into a Purim spiel, because it's Yom Hadin. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim. This is a very serious observation he makes. And in fact, he says there are kilos that are sensitive to this. They bedafka sell the aliyos for Rosh Hashanah on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, not on Rosh Hashanah. Not because of time issues.
Or Slichas night,
whatever it is. Okay, but bedafka, even though they would make more money, it would be ideal to do it in Rosh Hashanah. It's because this is a very, very real problem. It diminishes the emas hadin at the time when you sell aliyah. Something to keep that in mind. Okay, now getting an aliyah. It says in Shulchan Aruch, who gets the aliyah? The Baal Tokea and the Baal Musaf. Oh, that's the big mystery. It doesn't say anywhere. You show me somewhere in some sefer, some paisek, majorly paisek from time of the Shulchan Aruch, that kufa, that the Baal Shachris should also get an aliyah. Why not? Doesn't the Baal Shachris also deserve an aliyah? How come? What? We give him, okay? The bottom line is, the Kupuk Chazid, they give, of course.
The Makri, right?
You give
it. Kadima to both of them. A bar mitzvah boy.
Okay, Yartzeit has a Kadima. Yeah, there are a lot of Shulchan Aruch in a Chanami. But the question is, why, if Shulchan Aruch is going out of its way to tell us that you give an aliyah to the Baal Musaf and to the Baal Tokea, what about Baal Kriya? Right, they are minhagim. But why in Shulchan Aruch is there only an emphasis on the dafk on these two? So the answer is, this is part of the answer. But then let's take a step back. Maybe if we understand the reason, then we'll understand why only these two. Why taka do we give these two? So someone has said the Mukar comes from Masechet Yoma, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would read from the Sefer Torah in the afternoon. The Kohen Gadol, that was part of the Seder. It's not in the Torah. It doesn't say that in the Torah. That's not Takanas Chazal. It doesn't say that in the Torah. that after he did the Avodah, they would go to the Ezras Noshim, and he would take his special Sefer Torah, and the whole Klal Yisrael would come to watch, and it was a big deal. He had to make a decision. Where do you want to be? You want to watch the Sol HaZazel, or do you want to watch the Kohen Gadol read the Sefer? You can't be in two places at the same time. You
can do both.
You can dance at two chasnas, but you can't watch the Kohen Gadol read the Sefer Torah. It's a very interesting Gemara. And go watch the Sohir LaZazel. There was no live hookups on Yom Kippur. It's one or the other. Make a decision. Life, you can't have it all in life. You got to make a decision. Obviously, it was a very big deal to watch the Kohen Gadol learn from the Sefer Torah. Why did the Kohen Gadol have to learn from the Sefer Torah? Why? Why did he do why on Yom Kippur? So it's not so simple. So the Mepharshim says because since he is doing the avoda of the whole Seder, it's his day. Memela, he should connect to where it all comes from. He should read about what it says in the Torah, where it says all of these mitzvahs in the Torah. Memela, that's why the same logic, the Baal Tokea and the Baal Mosaf, they're doing the Avodas Hayoyim. The Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, what's the Ikar Shemoneh Esrei? Mosaf, not Shachris. Mosaf is where you recite Malchiyoy, Zichroinoy, Shoifois, in Chazaris Hashatz, where you blow the Shoifer. The Ikar Avodas Hayoyim of Rosh Hashanah is in Mosaf. The Mitzvahs Hayoyim is Shoifer. Just like the Kohen Gadol, he did the Avodas Hayoyim, we gave him the... He had to read the Sefer Torah b'fnei the whole Klal Yisrael. The one who does the Avodas Hayoyim on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Baal Musaf and the Baal Tekeya, they get an Aliyah. The Baal Shachris is not doing the Avodas Hayoyim. He may be paid good money, they may pay him a lot of money, and he may be better than the Baal Musaf, and he may dive in the long Shemoneh Esrei, he may have better Nigunim.
One second.
But it's not, yeah.
If you're paying your money, you don't have to give him the
You pay the Baal Musaf money, Mikra, then you don't have to pay. But let's put that aside for now, because it's not so simple either. That if you pay him, you don't have to. It's not, there are different opinions about that matter. But let's put that aside. So you have to understand is that the Makar comes from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And there is because he's the one that does the Avodas Hayoyim. So now it makes a lot of sense. And Rosh Hashanah, who's doing the Avodas Hayoyim? Who's doing the Avodas Hayoyim? The Baal Musaf and the Baal Tokeah. It's only them. No one else has an obligation. Listen, it's a nice thing. You have a Baal Shachris, you have a Baal Makri. Makri's not the main thing, obviously. And you have the Baal Kriya, and you have one of those Psicha. You know, you have a lot of people who work and arrange all the seats. He does the most work. Okay, the janitor, the Jewish janitor, the one who cleaned up the shul, don't you think he should get it? Okay, right. So this now there's another time, another whole new reason that is Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Cheleif, a whole new time brought down in the Pesachim. I never saw this before. Is you want the Baal Tokeah and you want the Baal Musaf to be happy. You want them to be happy because if they're not happy, they're not going to perform well. You want them to be in a good frame of mind. So how do you become happy? You have a good meal. Food doesn't make you happy. It just gives you heartburn. What makes you happy is Torah. Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Cheleiv. Memela, you bring them to the Torah and you give them an aliyah. This is true simcha. You get them in a good mood, Memela, they'll be happy.
Oh,
so say Shachris, it's too little too late. It's too little too late. Right? So therefore, Memela, they get. But someone is saying no. Someone is saying that if he knows he's getting it, the simcha of knowing the anticipation is also going to give him simcha, so then they taka say you should give the Baal Shachris and Aliyah also and tell him in advance to make him happy. And that way he will perform well. He'll be in a good frame of mind. That would be a nafkamina. You can dray it like this. I'm just throwing out for you.
You don't give it to the Baal Shachris.
I'm just throwing out for you the svaris. Kohen Gadol, simcha. If you want to say simcha, you can really theoretically say simcha applies even to the Baal Shachris. In anticipation, or you can say no, it's too little too late because you only can give him the Stalia after he already did his performance. So it's too late. That's yet to come. These are different ideas presented in the Pesachim, what you should do. Okay, let's go to laning. Laning, okay, there are a million things you can talk about. Let's tell you one thing that person got going because some person had a conversation with me. I was in shul, and the person says, or comes over and he says to me, do you know what the word epiphany means? Yes. I said, no, I don't know what the word, I never heard that word before. Go look it up. Take out your smartphone and look up the word epiphany. So I look it up and I read for him, it's a beautiful English word. I should really take out my smartphone now and read the word, but it basically means, let me read it for you. Let's talk, we have only 2 minutes left. What? No, this is what he said to me. It means a revelation, but it's very, he said to me, this is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. He says to me, this is the Malchus of every Talmud Chacham. He said this to me. Okay, this person is a Talmud Chacham. He told this to me. This is the Malchus, and this is the Ikar laning of the first day Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's see what this word means on my smartphone. Might as well put this to good use. Here we go, epiphany. A sudden, okay, look how they translate this in English. This is, I don't know which dictionary this is, whatever it is. A sudden, intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. Pretty powerful, powerful definition. This is the Mahus of Rosh Hashanah. Why is that so? There are a million themes in the late Likuyo. Not going into just the one thing is because what does it say about Hagar? Vayifkach Elokim es einecha, vatere be'er mayim. The be'er mayim, her son Yishmael was dehydrated, was starving, was about to die. The solution was right in front of her eyes. She did not need miracles. She did not need Hashem to take a rock and hit the rock and water should come out of the rock. The Chomer was there. What she needed was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an amazing Yisoid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up her eyes. It's very interesting. The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is Lishmoya, to hear the kol shofar. But the Kriya is not about hearing, it's about seeing. It's vatifkach, vayifkach Elokim es einecha. It's staring at you in plain sight. Okay, how many times in life do we grope in the darkness, we have problems, and at the end the solution is so simple. It's so simple. The shidduch, it's right in front of your eyes. Right? It's hiding in plain sight.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Maisim b'chol yom. There's no need to shaf a naya goylem. You don't need to create new people. It's just a matter of ayifkach elokim es einecha. That's the ikur pasuk. That's called an epiphany. Epiphany. That's what it means. It means a revelation. It's a revelation. This is the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah Yimevakesh Ribon Shalom. It's unrealistic to ask Hashem for miracles. People go into Yimei Hadin, I'm expecting there to be peace and Ramses. I'm expecting Nisim v'Niflois. Okay, you can shoot for the stars, but you got to be realistic. Okay, life, Haneg Bohem Minig Derecheretz. The Iker Avoide is, you go into the Yimei Hadin, the solutions for problems, is the solution is right in front of you. Yimevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you the insight to turn on the light bulb. Vatifkach, vayifkach, Elokim eseinecha, vatere be'er mayim. It was right in front of her. This is the Malchus of the Yimei Hadin. Now, going back to what we learned last week, why do we learn the last Aliyah on the second day Rosh Hashanah, the last Aliyah? We go to the Yichus of Milcah, 12 people. So we discuss the common ends, not the common ends, the Shaduchim. We go to Rivka. Rivka was born, right? Rivka was born. Now, I'll tell you two things on this. First of all, there's another very beautiful drush. The reason why we learned that entire Aliyah, this is not the real answer. Just a little nice drush, because we want to get to Macha. Macha, the last word that we learn on the second day of Rosh Hashanah is the S, Macha. Iskadalvi, Iskadash, Shmei Rabba. What is Macha, Rosh Tevos? Miloich al kol ha'olam. Miloich al kol ha'olam. The last word of the Kriya on the second day is the word Miloich al. That is mamish, the theme of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's one answer. Another, and the drush is, this goes back to the end, I told you it was Rav Shimon Schwab, so the Ramban. The Ramban asked the question, Ubesuel hoylid es Rivka. What about Lavan? Where did Lavan go? Lavan disappeared. How come Lavan is not mentioned? The Ramban really asked the question. So you should know the Taka. Some say that when it says Kimuel, that's Lavan.
Right.
Okay, but that's not in order. It doesn't make sense. The whole order is out of order. Okay, but okay, that's one answer. Kimuel is Lavan. Okay, but Pashm Shadi is not mentioned. Why is he not mentioned? Big mystery. So we had the Drush. The Drush was, and I'll tell you, the Drush that we discussed on Friday was because love represents machshava. He represents a machshava can destroy you. Obsessions, living in the past. Another very simple answer. Lavan represents materialism. The essence of Lavan is Gashmias. Lavan and Yaakov. Lavan, the spotted sheep, the speckled, the striped, the not speckled, the akudim, the berudim, the akudim, back and forth. Lavan, it's Lavan. He saw Yaakov, he kissed him. Maybe there's a hiding a diamond in his mouth. Such desperation for money, materialism. It's his whole life, materialism. Rachel and Leah, just like we once discussed this. Sarah, we learn about this. We learn now with you. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, what are we learning? Call Asher Toima Sarah Shma Bi Kolaki Bi Yitzak Yikar Lachazara. Get rid of Yishmael. What did Sarah contribute to Klal Yisrael? What was her major contribution? She got rid of Yishmael. If not for Sarah, we would have a partner in Klal Yisrael, Yishmael. Avraham vayera hadavar me'oid b'enei Avraham al oidois b'no. Avraham desperately wanted Yishmael to be part of Klal Yisrael. No way you're going to tell me otherwise. Sarah said, no, we're getting rid of him. Vayera hadavar me'oid. You know what a powerful term that is? And what does Hashem say to Avram? She's right. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Out he goes. Call Asher Toima Asher Shma Bikala. This is her major contribution to Klal Yisrael. The distancing, the removal of Yishmael. What was Rivka's major contribution to Klal Yisrael? Esav. She got rid of Esav. Who wanted Esav in the big picture? Yitzchak. Yitzchak wanted to give him the brachas. He wanted desperately to give him the brachas. And what did Rivka accomplish? No, I don't care. It's not going to happen. We're getting rid of Esav. What did Rachel and Leah, what did they contribute to Klal Yisrael? What did they contribute? They got rid of Lavan. Lavan was part of Klal Yisrael. Lavan, you can't get rid of Lavan. Rachel and Leah and Rivka, they're all related. You know, this is the Mechudin. This is the Mechudin. This is the Shver. It's the Shver and the Mechudin. It's the Shver. You can't get rid of the Mechun, you can't get rid of the Shver. It's all part of Klal Yisrael. This is Jewish custom. Okay, it's what happened? Yaakov calls his wives to a midnight meeting, 3 o'clock in the morning, takes them out into the field, an emergency meeting for all of the NSA, CIA watching, and he says, we're going to run away in the middle of the night. I want to cut myself off entirely from your father-in-law, from my father-in-law, from your father. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Are you with me or not? Are you coming along or not? Do you want to be part? And they say, yeah, we're coming along. What do we have from them? What do we have from our father? We have nothing. I don't have the tip of my tongue. The psukim, my efsky is not here, but I have the tip of the psukim. The psukim are, they say very, very powerful words. We're done with him. What do we have from him? What do we have from our father? It's an amazing thing. So what was their major accomplishment? The major accomplishment was to get rid of Lavan. Lavan is out the door, out the picture. Out the picture. It's not part. And what does Lavan represent? Lavan represents materialism. Materialism. The sickness of Lavan is the obsession with materialism. Yishmael, he represents whatever. He represents Esav. In the Kriyas HaTorah, we bedafka how to read this Aliyah. You know why? To get rid of Lavan. Because the first day in Rosh Hashanah, who do we get rid of? Yishmael. On the second day Rosh Hashanah, who do we get rid of on the second day Rosh Hashanah? The Akedah. Ki bi Yitzchak. The whole focus is Ki bi Yitzchak Yikar l'chazara. Egev asher shamata b'koili, because of the brach. When did it become nikar that Yitzchak is going to be Yitzchak? Ki bi Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the whole Malchus of Yitzchak is the second day, the learning of the second day Rosh Hashanah, is the Akedah. The Akedah, the Eilu Shel Yitzchak, is when the Brachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ekev Asher Shom Aram Mikoli, Vayishma Vishmarti, you get all the Brachas that goes down to Yitzchak. And then we have to learn the last Aliyah and list the 12 names in order to ignore who? Lavan. Why? Because we got to get rid of Lavan. We got rid of Yishmael the first day. The main kriya of the second day is getting rid of Esav, Yitzchak, and not. Is getting rid of the focus is Bi Yitzchak, Vilay Kol Yitzchak. You have to finesse that a little bit better, but the psukim to emphasize this idea, Ki Bi Yitzchak, Yaakov and not Esav. And then the third, the last aliyah is to deliberately omit Lavan as the accomplishments of Rachel and Leah to get rid of Lavan. That's why that aliyah is so necessary, because this is the DNA of Klal Yisrael. It's not just who we are, who we're not. We're not Yishmael, we're not Esav, and we're not Lavan. Now, just to wind down, there's a very interesting message that says the reason why Lavan is not mentioned is because he was ugly as sin. Not even a mother would love such a child. He was born, he was so ugly, he was so strange and ugly, they didn't acknowledge that he existed. Lavan was born, Besuel Hoylid as Rivka, she was a beauty queen, right? And then there was Lavan.
Jewish nose.
And something went really, really wrong with this Lavan. They put him away somewhere because he was extremely ugly. So therefore they made believe he did not exist. That's what it says. Why Lavan is not mentioned. But the truth is, Lavan is there. Lavan comes to be. And who comes from Lavan? Rachel, and Leah. And I want to go back to the one thing that's the last thing I'm telling you, we're finished. And that is the most common reason why we lay in this last Aliyah. You can hear this from every Darsh, is because Shidduchim. Shidduchim! It's all about Shidduchim. And therefore, after the Akedah, oh! There's a Rivka. Rivka is out there. Memela, Rivka is out there. So you see, Yitzchak has a Rivka. He has a Shidduch enough to worry. It's not a nechama for everyone, this Aliyah, because some people have a Rivka. They've gone through all the Rivkas. The Shatchanim have presented them with all the Rivkas. They have a whole long list of Rivkas. And some girls, they presented all the Yitzchaks. They've gone through all the Yitzchaks. And they look at this Aliyah and they say, it's a very nice chizuk, but not for me. It doesn't help me because I've gone through all the Rivkas and all the girls, I've gone through all the Yitzchaks. So it doesn't help me. The nechama is, there are things that you don't know about. Because even in this nice long list, there's someone missing. And you know who's missing? Lavan. And you know what comes from Lavan? Rachel and Leah. So, don't despair. Just because you look all over the place and you see the obvious, and maybe the obvious doesn't speak to you, but look, there's someone here in this Aliyah that's missing. And that what's missing is so essential, there would not be a Klal Yisrael if not for Lavan. Because Lavan produced Rachel and Leah. So, and Rachel and Leah, Yaakov married them both. So Mimela, it's Taka for Shidduchim. It's in Shidduchim, but not just the obvious. There's a nechama that there are things out there that you don't know about that are also waiting for you to happen. Okay, we'll stop over here.